Jaya Raja Madhava Puja Bihari Gopi Channa Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Channa Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Kiravana Chari Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira
Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Channa Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnu Parthamu Sakali Vajakacharya Astotara Sakashu Shimari Dhrangu Isabai Chana Vindavati Vidanta Sankropad Ki Jaya Mata Koti Vajtama Vindakari Jaya Namacharya Shila Haridastra Koti Jaya Prem se kaha ki Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Raita Garada Ashwara Sadi Gaur Bhakta Bhumi Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gavadam Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Shri Ranganai Ki Jaya Shri Janganamai Ki Jaya Shri Mukhitisi Devi Mahanai Ki Jaya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya The Lordship Shri Shri Radha Shamsundar Ki Jaya The Lordship Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya The Lordship Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jaya The Lordship Shri Shri Lakshmi Nishimadev Ki Jaya ISKCON New Raman Reti Dham Ki Jaya Nitya Gaur Premanandu All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the liberty of Shri Shri Guru
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we give from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16. Text 16. So chapter 16, entitled How Parikshit Received the Aid of Kali. So text number 16. Saracha Parashara Sevana Sakya Dauja. Vira sanuna gamanastavana pramanaman. Snigdeshu pandeshu jagat pramnatim cha vishnu. Bhaktim karoti nrit patischan charanara vinde. Saracha prasada sevana sakya dautya. Vira sanuna gamana stavana pranaman. Snigdeshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnu. Bhaktim karoti nripatis charanara vindam. Saracha para sada sivana sakya docha. Vira sanuna gamanastavana pranamam. Snigdeshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnu. Bhaktim karoti nripatis charanara vinde. Please chant.
Chakara Shalan Sekana Sakya Dautya
Vira Sananu Gamanasta Dhanam Pranam. Vira Sananu
Gamanasta
Dhanam Pranam. Nigdeshu Pandushu Jagat Panatim Cha Vishnu. Bhakti karoti nripatis charanara vinde.
Saracha parashara sevana sakya
dautya.
Vira sananu gamanastavana pranama.
Snigdeshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnu.
Bhaktim karoti nripatis charanara vinde.
Saracha prasada sevana sakya dautya.
Vira sananu gamana stavana pramanama.
Snigdeshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnu.
Bhaktim karoti nripatis charanara vinde.
Manners.
Saracha Pashada Sevana Sakya Dautya.
Savachatta Sarasivana Sakya Daucha Virasana Nugamana Stavana Pranama Snigdeshu Pandushu Jagat Pranitin Cha Vishnu Bhaktim karoti nipatis charanara vinde. Saracha parasa sarasarena sakya dharcha. Virasanula gamanastavana pranaman. Sridheshi Pandushi Jagat Panatim Chagishnu Bhaktim Kaloti Nipatis Charanaravindam Saratya. Acceptance of the post of a chariot driver.
Acceptance of the post of a chariot driver.
Parashada. Acceptance of the presidency in the assembly of the Rajasuya Satrapas. Sevana, engaging the mind constantly in the service of the Lord. Sakya, to think of the Lord as a friend. Daucha, acceptance of the post of a messenger. Vira Ashana, acceptance of the post of a watchman with a drawn sword at night. Anugamana, following in the footsteps. Stavana, offering of prayers. Pranama, offering obeisances. Snigdeshu, unto them who are malleable to the will of the Lord. Pandushu, unto the sons of Pandu. Jagat, the universal. Ranatim, one who is obeyed. Cha, and Vishnu, of Vishnu. Bhaktim, devotion. Karoti, does. Nripati, the king. Charana Aravinde, onto his lotus feet. Translation and purpose of the Grace Shri Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit heard that out of his causeless mercy, Lord Krishna, Vishnu, who is universally obeyed, rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu by accepting posts ranging from chariot driver to president to messenger, friend, night watchman, etc. according to the will of the Pandavas, obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years. When he heard this, Maharaj Parikshit became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport. Lord Krishna is everything to the unalloyed devotees like the Pandavas. The Lord was for them the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master, the worshipable deity, the guide, the chariot driver, the friend, the servant, the messenger, and everything they could conceive of. And thus, the Lord also reciprocated the feelings of the Pandavas. Maharaj Parikshit, as a pure devotee of the Lord, could appreciate the Lord's transcendental reciprocation of the feelings of his devotees. And thus, he himself also was overwhelmed with the dealings of the Lord. Simply by appreciating the dealings of the Lord with his pure devotees, one can attain salvation. The Lord's dealings with his devotees appear to be ordinary human dealings, but one who knows them in truth becomes at once eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. The Pandavas are so malleable to the will of the Lord that they could sacrifice any amount of energy for the service of the Lord. And by such unalloyed determination, they could secure the Lord's mercy in any shape they desired. Om Jnana Tivandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunyantam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishatan Vitamstam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopika Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskite Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatura Chattakasini Deva Chapati Kadampavani Diya Vaishnavi Diya Nimanna Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Vitaleshana Tishila Vivarpa Viti Namo Shri Shri Vandata Devira Padapak Pankajadani Prabhupada Nivadana Maharshi Vodave Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthara Bhutalesha Mati Bhakti Vidanta Samyati Namale Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachami Nirvishesha Sinivari Paschacha Deshi Chagina Hare Krishna. So today's verse is dealing primarily with the transcendental and ultimate reciprocation, competition, and who ultimately wins that competition. So, starting off with reciprocation, here we find that the Lord is reciprocating with his devotees. And that reciprocation takes on a different dimension, a different parameter. Like, there are reciprocations also between the demigods and their followers or their devotees. But that's totally different. It's completely contrasting, per se. Generally, when one approaches a demigod, they approach for some material benefits, which that worshipable deity offer. They offer them material benefits and very quickly. And generally, towards the as long as they receive that benefit, then their business with that demigod is finished. They even give up the worship of that personality. Sometimes they even want to turn back and kill that demigod, like in the case of Vritrasura. He performed tremendous austerities to Lord Shiva, that he wants a boon that anyone who he touches their head, it should split and they would immediately die. So upon finally receiving, after performing extreme austerities, very austere, he received that benediction. Then what he wanted to do, You want to try it on Lord Shiva's head himself, you want to kill him. So that's the reciprocation between the demigods and their followers. We find cases like Lord Brahma, when he gave Hiranyakashipu this benediction, that he was performing so severe austerities, and finally he got a benediction from Lord Brahma that he's gonna be so powerful like that. So that was their extent of their calculations. That's what they want. There are many other examples of, like, you have Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Hiranyaksha, excuse me, and many, many others, that they want that they're worshipping, they're performing austerities, and their thoughts are something of a material calculation. But here, with the reciprocation of the Lord, it takes on a different parameter. That as one dedicates himself in Krishna consciousness, in worshipping the Lord, he gives up material desires. So when those things are being offered to them, they reject it, as they don't want any such facilities. And what they continuing to serve the Lord with full dedication. Like here, this word used was very shocking to me. Snigdeshu means malleable, one who is malleable to the service of the Lord. The word malleable means that something that you can hammer and pound into shape due to your desire. Like, for example, the blacksmith would have this piece of iron and they would hammer it and pound it and heat it and do everything that they want to get it into the shape that they want it to. And that piece of metal doesn't complain, just carry on, just allows themselves to be, what we can say, brutally treated by this person who has the desire to mold them into a certain fashion. So that's what the word malleable means. So it's a very graphic description that is stated in this verse. Snigdeshu, one who is malleable to the service of the Lord, it means that one who is willing to do what it takes to satisfy whatever desire the Lord has. They don't care what austerity they have to perform, what it takes, how degrading, how embarrassing, how much of their ego has to be sacrificed. Whatever it takes, they are willing to do that just for the service of the Lord. And a typical example here are the Pandavas, as stated here. That these Pandavas, if you look at their lives, throughout, from their very childhood, from their very birth, they were twisted and torn and pounded into shape and performed so much austerities just for the sake of the will of the Lord. They did whatever it takes to fulfill the Lord's desire. Many times the other brothers would ask Maharaj Yudhisthira that, why are we doing all of this? Why do we have to tolerate so much? Our wives are being insulted. There's so much austerities that they performed. And Maharaj Yudhisthira says, we are doing this for the service of the Lord. That was his answer. That was his, how he was consoling them. That we are doing this for the Lord's service. That the Lord has a plan. And we are here to execute that plan. So that was their position. If you look at their lives, they were so much, they're put in all sorts of trials and tribulations. So much so, till towards the end, that Queen Kunti prayed that let these calamities happen again and again. You know, she becomes so much accustomed to these calamities. Because due to the calamities, the Lord is always with them. So the Pandavas, they perform so much austerities. And so whatever the Lord's plan is, whatever wish he wants to fulfill, they were ready to do it. Without question, without fail, without effort, without thinking a second thought, they are willing to do it. They don't care what they have to do. They lost their kingdom, their wife got insulted, they were exiled, they were humiliated in so many different ways. None of those matter to them. So it's described here that when a devotee has that reciprocation, a devotee has that attitude, then in the spiritual world there is always the process of reciprocation. Just like when these demigods are being worshipped by their devotees, whether they're devotees or demons, they're reciprocated with them. Okay, you have performed so much austerity, now I want to reciprocate with you, I want to give you something. So similarly here with the devotees, they have performed so much austerities, they have performed so much service, so much dedication, sacrifice every ounce of their energy, then the Lord wants to reciprocate. But there's a problem. And the problem is that the Lord gives them total independence. The living entity has total independence. It's minute, but it's independent. Which means that the Lord cannot control how much they want to dedicate themselves to him. They cannot control how much devotion they want to expound towards the service of the Lord. He cannot control that. That's one of the things that he's a supreme controller, excepting that one. He cannot control the dedication that the devotee has towards him. So when he sees that these devotees are reciprocating with him, are dedicating so much of their lives, their entire lives for his service, it's a natural thing that there is reciprocation. This is also stated in the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction. One of the six loving exchanges is reciprocating, giving and receiving. So the Lord wants to reciprocate with his devotees. And when he reciprocates with their devotion, then they reciprocate again. And they outwork him in that they are giving more of their energy to him than he is giving to his devotees. Even in the 10th canto, Krishna mentioned to the gopis, he said, I cannot repay you for your loving services. Your own service has to become your repayment and your merit. Because whatever he has in his possession, they do not want. He has all the opulences, everything, they do not want that. So he cannot give that to them. So therefore, the only thing he's left with, the only option he's left with to give to the Lord is to his devotees, is to give to and reciprocate with them in service. So that's what brings us to today's topic. That's just a little introduction. So to today's topic, where Maharaj Parikshit is listening to this narration of how the Lord reciprocates. So how is he reciprocating with his devotees? He's becoming, the words are here, Saracha, he accepts the post of a chariot driver. Then he accepts the post of the presidency. He accepts the post of a servant, as a messenger, as a watchman. So this is his reciprocation, because he has nothing else to offer. Just like the devotee is offering himself to the Lord, then the Lord wants to reciprocate, to offer himself to the devotees. So this is a very high level of spiritual reciprocation. So it becomes competitive. So in the beginning we talked about reciprocation, competition, and the winner of that competition. So the Lord is trying to reciprocate because he has nothing else to offer in reciprocation to what the devotees are offering him. Then he decides to offer himself to the devotee as a servant in any way, shape, or form that the devotee wants. So he wants to reciprocate in that way. So here is it stated that the Lord becomes, he accepts the post of the presidency in the Rajasuya sacrifice. So that's when they were having the Rajasuya sacrifice, they had to get the highest portion of honor. So the Pandava chose Krishna to take the highest post of honor. But before that, what was Krishna doing? Can anyone say before he was called to take the highest post of honor in the beginning of the Rajasuya sacrifice, what was he doing? He is washing everyone's feet. Outside, all the guests coming, he was washing and rubbing their feet, taking care. And there's one thing to note that whilst they were doing that, unlike the pastimes in the Krishna book, with the gopis and in Vrindavan, in Vrajabhumi, where no one knew that Krishna was God. When Bilvamangala Thakur went to Vrindavan, he was told to go there to find Bhagavan. So he went to Vraja and he asked, he said, I heard Bhagavan is living here. I said, Bhagavan? There's no Bhagavan here. I said, God? I said, yes, God is here. I said, God? There's no God here. And then he said, oh, I'm looking for that boy Krishna. He said, oh, Krishna, the love of our heart, he's here. So like that, they all love Krishna, but no one are conscious. They're not conscious that he's God. But with the case of the Pandavas, to some extent, they were conscious that he was the Lord. And still, they accepted that service in all these different forms. So in one sense, you can say that their loving devotion, their elevation in Krishna consciousness in spiritual life is even higher. Because they're fully conscious that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're able to act in such a mature way of taking service from such a person. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine some senior person coming, you know that they're a very senior devotee, and then you're able to accept service from them? It's very difficult, because reverence and awe is there, and there's so much barriers that would affect you from that flowing reciprocation. But in the case of the Pandavas, this is not so. He also accepted the post of the chariot driver of Arjuna. And a chariot driver is basically a servant that they have to execute the order of the master. The master is saying, go there, no, turn back, go there, go, and drive the horse like this, speed it up, come on, let's step up the pace. And the servant has to reciprocate, they have to abide by those orders. So that was Krishna's position. Arjuna was ordering him. And remember, this took place after the war started. Before the war, the Mahabharata war, Arjuna ordered Krishna, please draw my chariot into the middle of the battlefield between the two armies and let me see who is willing to lay down their lives in this great trial of arms. And when he went there, he got confused. And then Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna revealed his universal form. Krishna revealed that he is the Supreme Personality of God, the ultimate truth, the Lord of all lords, the Adi Purusha. So Arjuna is fully conscious that now I'm dealing with the Lord here. And still, he was ordering him. And then, the Lord, before the Mahabharata war, the Lord acted as their messenger. That when they were negotiating with the Kauravas, Krishna himself went for peace talks. Whenever there's a battle or contention, they will try to have peace talks, and the last option would be to have a physical fight. So Krishna says, let me make the last try, let me do. He became their messenger, and he went. He went to perform the service on behalf of the Pandavas, tried to negotiate with the opposite party. He went to give some carry messages. So he acted in that way in servitude also. Then he also acted as the night watchman. During the war, you know, it's not greatly described, but during the war, in the night, you have to have security, you have spies and all of that. So Krishna was one of those security guards. He had a sword, and whilst they were sleeping, he was one of the securities, whilst they were in after. So one evening, they always have spies that would go in disguise into the opposite army and to learn of their next strategy and plan of action. So one evening after the war, Duryodhana got upset that Grandfather Bhishma was not fighting with all his zeal and vigor and enthusiasm. And as usual, he would go in his very antagonistic way and harsh way, and he was insulted Grandfather Bhishma. He said, "You're really partial to the Pandavas, that I know that you can kill them, but you're just not putting your heart into this matter." So then Bhishmadev said, "Do you think that's true? You think that's really what I'm doing? That look, tomorrow they will be finished. Look, you see these five charmed arrows? He had five arrows. These charmed arrows are for the Pandavas. I'm going to finish them tomorrow." So then the Pandava spy, heard that. And he came over, he told Krishna. So Krishna went in, he got Arjuna, he said, "Hey buddy, come, tomorrow you guys are doomed." So he asked, "What happened?" He said, "Look, Bhishmadev has his five charmed arrows for the five brothers. And you can counter it." Arjuna said, "Wait, I'll be back in a moment." And so the principle of warfare in that time is that after the war, everyone can, their friends, even the enemies, they reciprocate with each other, dine and so forth. So Arjuna went over to the Pandavas camp, the Kauravas camp. So when he went there, Duryodhana stood up and greeted him like a gentleman. He said, "Welcome to our camp. What can we do for you? You're here for something. Do you want me to stop the war?" He said, "No." He said, "Do you want me to give you back the kingdom?" Because at that time, Duryodhana was also starting to kind of lose faith, because the war was going in the wrong direction, and he figured out things are not going to end up too right here. So he said, you want me to give you back your kingdom?" He said, "No." He said, "You came for something. Let me know. I have to fulfill your desire." He said, "I want those..." Well, actually, what happened, one part that I missed, is that when Bhishmadev had his five arrows, Duryodhana said, "Just to be sure that you keep your word, and it happened, I'll keep those five arrows until tomorrow morning. Then I'll give it to you, to make sure no one steals it, no one confiscates them." So then Arjuna went, to Duryodhana, and he said, "I don't want anything else, but I want those five arrows." Duryodhana said, "Okay, here they are." So that was the end of that. So yes, Krishna also acted as a watchman for his devotees. What else is described here? So he accepted the post of messenger, accepted the post of watchman, he accepted the post of presidency, performed service, his chariot driver. So all these different reciprocations that Krishna was offering to the devotees, and the devotee is offering more reciprocation. So therefore, at the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada put a very interesting statement here, the very last sentence. He says, "The Pandavas were so malleable to the will of the Lord that they could sacrifice any amount of energy for the service of the Lord, and by such unalloyed determination, they could secure the Lord's mercy in any shape they desired." So that's the winner of the competition. That a devotee gained control, the devotee gained the upper hand, that they can secure their position in any way, shape, or form that they desire. So this is a very, very important statement. You know, in the 10th canto, 10.14.8, yeah, these beautiful verses everyone knows. Tatenu kampam shushanikshamana Bunjai vatma kripaditakam Vidvagvapurvir vidadam namaste Jiveta mukte pade sadaya bhakt.
So, and this is Lord Brahma praying after the Brahma Vimohan Leela pastime. Lord Brahma is praying that, O Lord, anyone who patiently awaits your mercy, whilst all the while suffering the reactions of their past misdeeds and undergo all austerities, they certainly gain your kingdom as their rightful inheritance, that the Lord's kingdom becomes their rightful claim. So when one behaves in this way, they automatically gains the association of the Lord in reciprocation. So just like the example is given in that purport, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives that example, that all a son has to do to inherit his father's estate is to stay. That's all they got to do. They got to stay. That's all. They don't have to do anything else. If you stay, then automatically it becomes yours. So that's the case of the devotee. But the devotee also competes. Not only that the devotee just stays, but because of the extent of their devotional service to the Lord, then that conquers the Lord, and they gain the upper hand to even choose how they want to be engaged. So that's why it is stated that devotional service to the Lord is more important than the Lord himself, or greater than the Lord himself. The service to the Lord is greater than the Lord himself. So this is one of the reciprocations that are there. So the devotee always wins, always exceeds in that competition. We saw it very vividly in the Krishna pastimes. They always exceed because the reciprocation in service cannot be calculated. Sometimes even the Lord himself cannot calculate it. That's why he came as Lord Chaitanya, because he cannot fathom, he cannot figure Radharani's love for him. He cannot calculate it. He can't estimate it. The most he can do, he wants to experience it. So then he came as a combined form of Radha and Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So from these descriptions, we can understand that the devotee in service is able to conquer the Lord, and the Lord reciprocates. Therefore, the Lord is called Bhava Grahi Janardana, that he reciprocates based on the devotee's desire. And in this, there are many, many pastimes where the Lord reciprocates. One such was this one devotee. He was a devotee of Ganesh, lived some distance from Jagannath Puri. And they told him, for him to get liberation, that he needs to go worship the Lord of Jagannath Puri. So in his mind, that his Lord is Ganesh, and that's what he's worshiping, the Lord as Ganesh with the elephant trunk and so forth. So when he went there, he saw Jagannath in a different form, and he said, oh, this can't be my Lord. This is not my, you know, my worshipful Lord. That my Lord has an elephant trunk. So he left and he was walking away. And Jagannath left the temple and went behind him and said, come, I'll show you that your desire will be fulfilled. So when he came back, he saw Jagannath as Ganesh with the elephant trunk. Therefore, the day before Ratha Yatra, you have this, the Lord is dressed in the Hathi Vesha, the elephant dress, in reciprocation to that devotee. And there are many other pastimes like that where he reciprocates due to the devotee's desire. Whatever desire they have, The Lord reciprocates with that. There's also pastimes in the Pandharpur. There are many, many pastimes that the Lord reciprocates due to the desires of the devotees. So that's how, that's his ultimate reciprocation. Whatever desire they have, he becomes a servant and fulfills that desire in all in a loving way. Unlike the demigod who wants to, who their servants, their devotees, wants to turn back and even hurt them, or once their desires are satisfied, fulfilled, then it's the end of it. With the devotee, the reciprocation continues. Like we read in Krishna book, the more Krishna wants to give to the Brijavasis, the more they want to give to him. And then the more he tries to give, the more they try to give. And like that, it's going back and forth, back and forth. So like that, Maharaj Parikshit, as in this verse, he was listening to these narrations. And when he heard these narrations, he became so overwhelmed that he dedicated more of his life in devotional service. He understands and he's able to see the reciprocation of the Lord. He's able to appreciate the Lord more. That's like when Lord Chaitanya was traveling, he met this illiterate Brahmin who was reading the Bhagavad Gita upside down. He had the book upside down. He didn't know. He was trying to read. And he had tears in his eyes. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "I'm crying because I can see how that Krishna is so loving to his devotees that he became the chariot driver of Arjuna." So then Lord Chaitanya said, "You actually understand the purport of the Bhagavad Gita. You fully understand it with all you can't read." So, you know, he's able, the devotees are able to appreciate. And even by listening to these pastimes, as what Srila Prabhupada mentioned here, by just listening to these pastimes, one can gain salvation, gain liberation. And when he says liberation, we don't mean like liberation from this material world, or you might go to the heavenly planets or whatever. Just like this verse we quoted, Tateno Kampam Shishamekshamana. The last line said, Jiveta Mukte Pade Sadayabak. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was the Digvijaya, he was the greatest scholar, defeating everyone. But when he was defeated by Lord Chaitanya, by way of humility and devotional service, then he quoted this verse, this Tatinikampam verse also. And he wanted to change that word, Jiveta Mukte Pade Sarayabak. He wanted to change it to Jiveta Bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, that mukte is correct. That liberation, in this context, liberation means going back home, back to Godhead. It doesn't mean liberation in the normal sense. It means total deliverance and devotional service. So like that, that's the position. And even if one listens to these pastimes, that's why it's so important that we read the Bhagavatam, we listen to it daily, as Srila Prabhupada set out on in his mission in ISKCON, that we read these over and over, even if we might not understand. In most cases, at least for me, I don't. But if you continue listening to them, continue hearing, then that in itself becomes the source of our ultimate spiritual benefit. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any questions, comments, Mother Nandini to show you.
Thank you very much for a nice class. It was complete, friends were complete. And I just wanted to add, with your permission, Krishna was also managed with sir. He fixed him. Arjuna is managed with Subhadra. He was also their Draupadi's sari supplier. He was also their ombudsman man. When Arjuna and Yudhishthira had an argument, he would pacify both the parties and stuff.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for reminding us the story of Lord Jagannath.
I missed the last piece. I missed the last sentence you said.
Thank you for reminding of Jagannath and Ganesha avatar.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the day on Smani Yatra sometimes it's there.
Yeah.
In large ways of
the I don't know what's the traditional regulations, but when we were in Jagannath Puri, the day before Rath Yatra, that's when they dressed him in the Hathi Vesha, the elephant dress. So like that. So yeah, there are many, many ways which the Lord reciprocated with his devotees. Yeah. Even with King Indrajumna, he reciprocated so much. Gajendra, the same Indrajumna, Gajendra, the elephant, he reciprocated. He accepted the prayer. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, Devaki Vasudev, they prayed to get the Lord as their son. I don't think they asked to enjoy his childhood pastime, so therefore they got the Lord as their son to give birth to him. And Mother Yashoda, she got to enjoy his childhood pastimes. So like that is all reciprocation. So yeah. Anything else? Okay, so I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Marriage is a